ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
And we clarification. Also. And I talked to so many things as well.
So he is saying, Payo Navasam Agarche. Don't be turned away by those attachments and aversions. So he says, it is possible for one to come out of the lower mode of passion and ignorance. If one understands this shloka, where is it? Indriya-artha raga-dvesha-vyavasthita. Senses, in reference to sense objects, are having attachment and aversion. That one should not be carried away by them. So, that means it is like the do's and don'ts that we prescribe for a child. A small child at home. As you have seen, a very young child always wants to catch something and put it in the mouth. He goes around and picks something and puts it in the mouth. Every time he has catch his hand, and sometimes my mother gives a little bit, you see. Child takes something and tries to put it in the mouth. Mother says, child becomes afraid. So he can't put it in the mouth. Or he gives him punishment to the child. He ties the hands to the child. In the same way, whenever our senses are going towards sense objects for the sake of our own gratification, what we do? Tayodna Vatamagat Chaitra Sanchi. Don't come under that wash. Don't come under that control. So Krishna is telling us, if you learn, that is actually called a tapasya. What is tapasya? Tapasya means something that is difficult to perform, which you are not interested to perform, but you are told you should perform. That is called as austerity. Like waking up in the morning is an austerity. Taking cold water bath is an austerity. Standing the rounds, sitting rounds in the morning, although mind tells you, just go and sleep. Cold world is sleeping. Everyone is under the blanket. You are the only one awake. It's really like that. You have to resist the temptation to the mind and say no to the mind and continue one's spiritual activities. That is called as so besides, we are saying that we should give up aversions and attachments that are arising from the modes. Rather, one should not come under the control and stay strict in spiritual life. Then he says, then you can change your modes, then you can rise yourself. And then what did Krishna say after that? That is fine. One should do only one's prescribed duty and one should not have immediate other duty. Especially Krishna tells this to Arjuna, why? What was Arjuna trying to do? He was regarded want to fight. He wanted to act like a Brahmana. So Krishna told him, you are a Kshatriya and you should better die in the battlefield and become glorious instead of pretending to be a Brahmana. That is not your dharma. So Krishna told him, if you therefore want to act according to his own duty and perform a duty imperfectly, plan to perform somebody else's duty in a so-called perfect way. Krishna condemned it. We told the story of Ekalavya. You guys remember? Now I'll ask anybody else, any one person can say, what was the main, one or two models can tell me from Ekalavya story. Till now, whoever has not yet answered, they can say, Balachandra Prabhu. Master, you should abide by his order. So he was ordered by Dronacharya that you should not learn Asri. That's not good for you. But he learned himself. That was a big mistake he did. That was another lesson. The generally don't know about the ecology story in India. They generally don't know the main theme of the story. The other people often quote the story to say that Ecclesia performed such a great sacrifice by giving a singer to Dronacharya. That is why you may know all the stories in Mahabharata, but you may not know the morals. You have come to Parampara to understand the morals. In fact, all of us here, you must have heard so many stories in Mahabharata. Earlier. And probably most of the stories you must have heard are entertainment. Only when you come to Parampara, you get a clear understanding of who is who, why did he do like this, why did Krishna act like this, things become clear. So, further now, Arjuna is inquiring from Krishna. Atatyena parityayam, satam charati purushala, anichyanati vasnaya, maladi vanyojitaha. Arjuna said, O descendant of Rishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? Then Krishna is answering, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Kama Yesha Krodhi Yesha Rajoguna Samutavaha, Mahasana Mahapapa Vithyanam Sivavairinam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is left only Arjuna. It is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into that. And with it, the all devouring sinful enemy of this world. So here, Arjuna is asking, Papam Charati Purushaha. Papam Charati means one who is grazing in the field of sin. That's the meaning of Chapapam Charati. Why does one dwell in sin, although one pretty well knows it is wrong to perform such an activity? That is the question. So, you have heard so much in the chapter that committing sin, what is sin? Sin means disobedience to God. Simple definition. Here, Arjuna is asking, my dear Krishna, you have told me so much, I understand that I have to fight. I don't feel like fighting. Still my mind tells me don't fight. Still my mind is resisting. Why? That is one understanding. And another sense, here the relevant meaning of sin is Arjuna's disobedience to Krishna. That is the meaning of sin. And this therefore can also mean further the subtlest aspect of this understanding is the independent nature of the living entity from Krishna. Why does the living entity feel that he has to become independent of Krishna? Why does he want to be independent? He wants to act whimsically by according to his own desires. So here Krishna in answer is saying, Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajoguna Samutavaha. He is saying it is left only Arjuna, but he is born into contact with a mode of passion and later transformed into wrath. Wrath means anger. That is actually more subtle than anger. Because a person with a lusty intentions may not be easily detected. But a person in anger can be very easily detected. You can see from his face and the way he shouts. So that is considered to be more subtle. But when one is lusty, naturally that is going to lead him to the platform of anger. Why? Because lust can never be satisfied. When lust is not satisfied, one becomes angry immediately. First of all, we should have a clear understanding of what is the word lust. Lust and anger should be understood in a proper sense. Because Krishna is telling Arjuna, Arjuna, it is lust only that makes you act in this way, that is taking you to lower consciousness. In fact, all of us in this world, moment after moment, day after day, month after month, you are actually struggling to leave the lower natures and go to higher nature, is it not? You know, within our mind, within our words, within our actions, you see, you so many times end up committing faults, committing mistakes, lowering our consciousness. So everyone in this world is struggling to pull up his consciousness. But one sees that one consciousness already goes to the lower nature. So this sloka is very, very relevant to all of us. If we can understand this sloka perfectly and adapt it in our life, then we can find a means to get out of the Baladiva Niyodita. Baladiva means like அது நம்மளுக்கு கேட்டிங் என்ன தலாதிவன் நியோசித்தவன் நியோசித்தவன் எங்கே ஹூ இஸ் த பர்சன் மை டியர் கிருஷ்ணா ஹூ இஸ் டச்சிங் மை நத்தன் என்கேஜிங் மீ இன் சச் சிம்பிள் ஆக்ட் அல்கோ ஐ ரியலி ஆம் நாட் வெரி வில்லிங் டு டூ அல்கோ ஐ அம் சேயிங் நோ இஃப் ஐ சே நோ ஸ்டில் ஐ அம் பீயிங் அண்ட் கிருஷ்ணா டியர் சேயிங் தட் இஸ் ஒன்லி தி பர்சன் லாஸ்ட் இட்ஸ் வெரி இம்பார்ட்டன்ட் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் திஸ் லாஸ்ட் தேர் இஸ் அ டிஃபரன்ஸ் பிட்வீன் லவ் அண்ட் லாஸ்ட் There is a difference as explained in scripture that love and lust are like gold and iron. Kama, prema, doham, kara, vipina, vilakshan, doha, ara, hema, aiche. Here, kama, prema, two things. Kama means lust. Prema means love. So here, kama, prema, these two things are like iron and gold. Both are metals. When you put both the things down, they produce the same sound. But they are actually different in quality. They are different in quality. Gold is a very high quality. And iron is a, you know, what is the quality of iron? Even the cost of gold and iron, you know. In the same way, apparently, love and lust may appear to be very similar, but they are not same. They are actually completely opposite quality. For example, in this world, so many people claim that I love so-and-so. Like my wife may say, I love my husband. Husband may say, I love my wife and my children. Or I love my father and mother. Or I love the society very much. Or I love the poor people very much. Or I love the trees. Or I love the animals. It's very easy to use the word love. But the real effect of love, then it is. When a person is kept up, there is love. Then one can very easily say there is no love. There are many stories that we read in the chapter. One of the stories is that one time, a man wanted to take Vanaprastha. He wanted to leave home and go for Vanaprastha. But he was very weak-hearted. He was not having enough strength to take Vanaprastha and leave the home and then go for sannyas. So he went to a sadhu. He told the sadhu that actually I want to take Vanaprastha. But how can I leave my dear wife? How can I leave my dear children? And how can I leave my father and mother? They are so dear to me. In fact, they are all serving me so much that I don't feel like leaving them. So send me some upaya. Send me some way. What can I do? And the sadhu told him, this is your only problem. I can prove to you that they have no love for you. And the sadhu told him that now we will go back to your house and you lie down as if you are dead. And you should keep your leg in the circular way. And I will come to your house as a doctor and I will come to cure you. And then I will do the rest of the thing, but you will never wake up, he told them. At any cost, you should never wake up. You should remain in the same position, he told them. So he went home and he fell down on the ground. And as he became running, what is the sound? They saw him lying on the ground with his legs were like this and hand was like this. And so they all started crying because they couldn't feel the breath of this person. They all started crying. And then they wanted to call a doctor. And the sadhu was passing by. So he called the sadhu. They come and kill my husband, the lady was calling. So they came and the sadhu administered so many medicines from different medicines applied on the forehead and the body. Nothing worked. And sadhu said, now I understood what is the problem. If any one of you can give you a life, then this person can come back alive. Then sadhu asked, now all of you decide amongst yourself, who would like to give the life for your husband or for your son? Then he will come back to life. Then everyone started turning to the other person. Then the mother and father, they started speaking. The father said, in fact, I am the most elderly person at home. And I am so important to give good advice to people at home. So without me, nothing can run. So he said, I can't give up my life. Better my wife can give. He said that time. Then his wife said, how bad you say? So I have to give up my life. I only begot my son. And I want to see my son alive. And I am so important to take care of his family. In this way, everyone considers himself to be the most important person. When the father and mother said, we will be alive, so his wife died. So in this way, they started trying to throw the ball in the others, let them, other people die. In And they said, the questions are going on. And the sadhu asked, okay, tell me, who is going to die? None of them were ready to die. And afterwards, after then you have to forget him. You have to take him to Smashan. When he was going to die, then everyone started crying loudly. And then when he was to be about to be brought out of the house, his hands and legs were so stretched in different directions that the body would not come out of the house. Then the wife suggested, why don't you cut off the hand so that the body will come out? Because this is an old house, we have been living in this house. If we demolish the thing, doorway, then we don't have any other house. Then as soon as the husband said it, he wanted to jump. But he didn't jump actually. The father had warned him. After they took him to the smashan, there he escaped. And easily put him on the house of his head. So in this world, it is very easy to say. Nobody should take any insults or any offense from the story. Actually, if you very carefully observe this world, there is no true love in this world. All that we have in this world is only lust. What is the difference between love and lust? Now we will hear the definition, then you can understand the difference between love and lust. Love means the intense affection towards the beloved, where the person feels a great joy in rendering service to the beloved. And the joy doesn't come from seeing the opposite person giving some satisfaction in return. For example, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. You know that? Like, you know, if you are feeling itch, I scratch you, and then you scratch me back. Then I say, thank you very much. That kind of, that is not called as love. Love means the intense affection towards the beloved with which a person wants to render selfless service towards the beloved, with his body, with his mind, and with his words, and with no expectation of reward in return. That is called as love. Where there is every possibility of the relationship to break, that it never breaks. The meaning of love. So this definition is a very deep definition. Every segment of the definition can be individually analyzed with hundreds of stories. As we can briefly analyze it, first it says, love means the intense affection towards the beloved by which one wants to render service to the beloved. So in this world, everyone wants to render service, is it not? But that service also is associated with some expectation of reward and return. Every service in this world. You shall be one person in the world who wants to serve without any expectation. You shall be one person. Whether you're an auto driver, or a taxi driver, or people entering service in the company. Every service, there is some kind of expectation of reward and return. In fact, even within family, you may not probably agree with me, but if you see a family, also we are rendering service to father, mother, or parents are rendering service to children, or brother is rendering service to sister. They are doing so many things. But it is a very subtle thing to understand that there is some element of expectation of reward in return. Everyone has in this world. And then parents say, oh, we want to see you very happy, my dear son, you go abroad, and we don't expect anything from you. But actually, they have some expectation from the child. And the son also has a lot of expectation from the father and mother. Everyone in this world, there is nobody in this world who has no expectation in every service. So here, when we talk of love, love means, I can tell the more precise definition. The first part is very interesting. We are not speaking of the love one feels towards someone who has satisfied one's needs. You understand this point? We are not speaking of the love one feels towards someone who has satisfied one's needs. That means you are expecting something from somebody and the person satisfies you and you say, oh, such a nice person, I love him very much. Why do you love him? Because you have satisfied your needs. Understand the point? If you understand this one point, if you can grasp this one point, there is a definition of our class today. If somebody satisfies your senses and you feel a great sense of happiness by such a satisfaction, I tell the person, thank you very much, I love you so much. So that means what does it mean? It is called as lust. That is the meaning of lust. You understand the difference between love and lust? Love means it is not a satisfaction that comes because somebody has satisfied our senses. It is further, It is actually the opposite. This life is an expansion of oneself, and outward flow marked by selflessness in action, speech and thought. It seeks no reward or return. This life is an expansion of oneself. That means it is completely one gives one's whole identity, one's whole existence one gives it to the person who is the object of love. And outward flow marked by selflessness in action, speech and thought. That is the meaning of love. That means there is selflessness in speech, in action and thought also. At every level there is selflessness. And that the person wants to go on serving unlimitedly, more and more and more and more service, and he never expects anything in return. Then it is called as love. In the common world, if you see, the boy says, I love a girl. Everything that out is because the girl is satisfying his senses. Either the woman is beautiful or man is beautiful, or even both of them are blind, they may probably have a similar temperament. My temperament is matching with yours. Maybe both of us married, we can live a happy life. That is the idea actually. There is some kind of expectation in return. Whereas the love which you are talking is having no expectation in return. We give many examples. Like when you go to a bus stop, sometimes the auto wala comes and invites you. You're standing at the bus stop and please come, please come. He's inviting us to be your servant for many years. You're wondering why he's inviting me. But then you sit in the auto and after going some distance, he will demand money. As you're going in the road in your car and you're stopping it in the signal, somebody is coming and wiping the glass. So sincerely, like a nice servant, cleaning all the glasses. After that, what do you expect? You will knock the door. They will ask you, please give me some. Give me some money, some money. Have you ever seen a person who is knocking the door and you open the door? He says, please give me more service. What do you want? More service. Have you ever seen that? You will be asking like that. But this is the meaning of love. Love means the person is giving his whole existence, giving his or her whole existence. Body, mind, words, everything. After giving the whole existence, that Lord asks, he's giving your whole existence, what do you want in return? More service. Asking. Give me more service. I want to serve you eternally. This is the meaning. This kind of prayer is told by Mukundamala also. నాహం మందే తవచరణయో ద్వంద్వం అద్వంద్వహేతో. మై డియర్ కృష్ణ, do not think that I am worshipping your lotus feet so that I can escape from the Naraka Loka. I am sure at least some of us here, we want to escape from Naraka Loka. At least myself. When I heard about the hellish planet, I became so fearful. I am so fearful of the hellish planet. Oh, almost everyone is on my side. So when we hear about the hellish planet, we become so fearful. But here, Kulisatra is telling, Naham Mande Tavacharaniyo, Vandana Dvanda Heto, Kundi Pakam Gurumapi Hare, Bharatam Napanetam. He is saying, my dear Krishna, I am not worshipping you so that I can escape from the hellish planet. I am ready to go to hell, he is saying. I don't mind going to hell. Nor do I want to become free from dualities of winter and summer. There is so much terribly cold in Pune nowadays. Fighting cold in the morning when we wake up. It is so difficult to take bath. Shivering cold. He says, I don't want to become free from dualities of this material world. I am ready to tolerate them. Ramya Rama Ambutan Lata Nandane Napirantam. He says, not do I expect to go to heavenly planet where one enjoys in the Nandanandana garden, gardenship. Mrithana Lata with women endowed with very beautiful bodies like Apsaras. Many people accept to go to heavenly planet. I do not accept to go that way. What do I want? Bhave, Bhave, Udaya Bhavane, Bhaviya Ram Bhavantam. He says, birth after birth in the core of my heart, let pure love for you. Again, let it rain my heart. He says, let your pure love sit on the throne of my heart. Always. How long? Bhave, Bhave, he says. Birth after birth. So this is the meaning of actual love. That a devotee simply wants to serve Krishna without any expectation. Even in the earlier Sapasa, he says, Mukunda Murdhna Pranipatrayache Sayantame Kantamiyam Tamattam Adismati Chachayana Aravindu Bhave Bhave Met Bhavat Prasada. He says, Mukunda Murdhna Pranipatrayache, I'm bowing down my head before you, O Lord Mukunda, for only one purpose. Samasame Kantam, he says, only one desire I have in my heart. We don't have one desire, we have millions of desires. He says, there is only one desire. What is that one desire? As a Suti, such Charanaravinde. Let me never put it to forgetfulness of your lotus feet. As a Suti, such Charanaravinde. Bhave, Bhave, Nesta Bhavat Prasada. By your mercy, birth after birth, you always remember your lotus feet. This is my only desire. I know that desire, he says. Today, bow down my head before you, please, kindly. Cover me in this way, that I can always remember you. So this kind of love, really very amazing to see how one can love, how one can have such a kind of love. Because in this world we find only lust. Lust is opposite. Actually, lust is equal in magnitude to love, but opposite in direction. Like if you see, we are seeing how intensely Ukkundamala is praying, our Krishna Alva is praying. We have the same kind of attraction, but towards our direction. Every living being in this world thinks, I am the center of this world. How much everyone is loving me, how much everyone is serving me, how much my senses are thoroughly satisfied. To that extent, I love the other person. If somebody comes in the way of my happiness, I will finish him. That is the idea of the living beings in this world. That, you see, to draw a couple, there are places like this of different centers. They all are clashing with one another. In the same way, in this world, everyone is thinking himself to be Krishna, or himself to be God, or himself to be the object of all one's love. You can see, everyone is trying to dress themselves very smartly. You know why? Why everyone wants to dress so attractively? Why do we so much care for the hair? Why do we so much care for the dress? How do we wear? Everyone wants to become the center of attraction. The person is not like someone looks at them and says, you are so beautiful. And they feel that's very nice. Now, this is the perfection I have. Now my working heart has really borne some fruit now. Things like that. So everyone wants others to love them. Everyone wants others to be attracted towards them. Everyone wants to be the center. And he says, oh, Krishna is so beautiful. He has curly hair. He has the more punk on his head. And his bimba lips, they are so beautiful to see. And his eyes are extending up to the ears. So beautiful. And then he goes to sleep. And he is sleeping. I don't know if he has done that. We are not very interested in hearing glories of Krishna. But we are very, very eager to understand what everyone is talking about me. Today I am wearing a blue dress. That is everyone talking about me. And then they even ask people, what did others say about me? Do you like my dress? Or if you wear a new dress, if nobody tells anything, you wonder. Why? Nobody knows I am wearing a new dress. Like that. This is very natural. Even in a child it is very obvious. Right from childhood, the rasika is so strong. Right from childhood, and you grow up. So this is actually lust, where one wants to satisfy his own senses. We are not the enjoyers, we are the enjoyed. Krishna, right from the beginning, when he wanted to expand his bliss, he expands into Vamsha and Vibhinamsha. Radharani and Krishna, they are not different. They are the same tattoo actually. Radha and Krishna are one. That's no difference. But Krishna's pleasure potentially is expanding in the form of Radharani. So Radharani is called predominated and Krishna is the predominator. And Radharani is enjoyed and Krishna is the enjoyer. Not only Radharani, Radharani and all her associates and all the living entities, that you and me, we all are coming in the category of Prakriti. Prakriti means enjoyed. Purusha is the enjoyer. So real love means when Prakriti understands, I am actually supposed to be enjoyed by Krishna. I am Krishna's property. I am not God, I am God's property. If one understands this, and one understands I am supposed to be enjoyed by God, I should not enjoy
God has it, that's a bit. Then one comes to a realization of love. That is why this kind of love can be achieved more and more and more. One's humility also increases more and more. Then one takes version of the Lord, from version of the Lord then one is feeling that the Lord is looking at me. Lord, Radha and Krishna, they are looking at me. They are observing me. And I am presenting myself to them in front of them. Whereas a person who doesn't have this understanding, he thinks they are actually meant for my enjoyment. He just takes Radha and Krishna very cheaply and he comments about Radha and Krishna. It's very cheaply. In the same way, the love and lust actually are opposite in nature. They are completely opposite qualities. So the sense gratification, as long as we have a strong inclination towards sense gratification, one can never come out of this lust. Lust means sense gratification. Actually, lust, when you say, it actually means the desire to dominate. That's the meaning of lust. The desire to become enjoyer and a controller. That's the meaning of lust. So every living entity has its nature. One wants to dominate. In every person's life, you can see. Like a man, he wants to dominate his wife and children and the family. He thinks I am the controller. Wife thinks my husband is an illusion that he is the controller. Actually, I am the queen of the house. Wife thinks like that. So, whether it is a man or a woman, whoever it is, whoever wants to dominate, they are called as the so-called Purusha. They are not actual Purusha. Who is actual Purusha? Krishna is actual Purusha. Anybody who wants to dominate, enjoy, they are actually called the Yoga Purusha, so-called Purusha. That's why Krishna teaches the living and teaches Purusha Prakriti Stoti, Dinte Prakriti Dhamvana, he says. Such a Purusha is situated in this material nature. He is taking asset body and third body, good bodies and bad bodies, animal body, cat body, like human being body. He keeps on moving from one body to another. That way, the Purusha Prakriti Stoti. Bunte means enjoy. He's trying to enjoy. How, what is enjoying? Prakriti Janguna. Whatever is provided for the three modes of material nature, he is enjoying. You see, in the beginning of spiritual life, we may not be knowing what is the nature of the material nature. But when you read the Shastra, people understand that the material nature is actually simply a jugglery of names. Atat kavya nama viyaga darta charatramatta vyavasaya buddhidi. It is written in Bhagavatam. He says, atat kavya nama viyaga darta. The world is simply a jugglery of names, he says. Meaning, everything is made up of panchabhuta only. Like you go to a lane, there are so many shops with so many names. This is a computer shop, this is that shop, this is a pump shop is selling you paste, soap, and so many things. Some shop is selling you computers, some shop is selling you machines, some shop is selling you clothes. But a person with a deeper vision understands that everything is simply the same conglomeration of mixture, which is panchabhuta, nothing else. It is atakkavet, namati avadapet, the theory of names. And they call different names. That is all. Something you call as toothpaste, something you call as soap, or something you call as diet, something you call as clothes. Ultimately, they all boil down to what? Panchamahabhuta. They all are panchabhuta only. That apramatya vivasaya buddhi. He says, intelligence has never become pramatya, he says, by seeing all these things. You understand, these are all actually illusory, and they are trying to bind me. They don't become attached or attracted to these things. They know that this is all simply a jugglery of names. But the creation of this material nature has been so intelligently done. Mayadevi is so powerful. Mayadevi has two shakti. One is called kapata and nishkapata. She has two roles. Kapata and nishkapata role. As far as devotees are concerned, especially sincere devotees, Maya takes a nishkapata role. Nishkapata role means she reveals to her sincere devotees that these are all simply jugglery of names. Don't become attracted to these things. Actually, for all they can be used in Krishna service, used in Krishna service. But for those who are duplicitous and who have cheating nature and who are virtuous, Radha Mayadevi takes a kapata role. And she puts them under the illusion that these things are a very wonderful variety for sense gratification. When one does not understand this basic principle, he thinks that his world is filled with so many varieties of enjoyment. For the eyes, there are millions of sense objects. For the ears, there are millions of sense objects. You don't have to name them. You all understand this point? For every one of your senses, there are millions of
perfect. You understand sentence and perfect? Like for the tongue. How many varieties of footsteps we have in this world? You can't even probably name them. Well, you can name so many footsteps. But the eyes want to see beauty. There are so many types of beauty in this world. Then there is the ear, or the nose, or the tongue. So for a person who is not Krishna conscious, Maya Devi offers a variety of sense enjoyment. So, this is the meaning of sense gratification. When one does not understand what is Maya and what is Krishna consciousness, then one has one sense of truth in all directions, and one becomes entangled in that, and one tries to gratify the senses. So, gratifying one's senses is called as lust. So, one understands the nature of the soul, he is to love God and serve Him. In this mode of love, you were talking just now. I think once you understand, I am actually supposed to be enjoyed by God. And my body, my mind, my words, everything is Krishna's property. I have to completely, Chaturmaguru will give your whole existence to Krishna. Give your whole existence to Krishna, he says. Can you do that? Okay, if you can't do that, at least give your intelligence with us. Give your intelligence to understand the scriptures. And learn the important scriptures to try to live a life. If you cannot give the address, give your money. If you cannot give money for Krishna's service, give your work. That's what he is telling. So, once you understand this principle and try to come out of this nature of lust. So, lust takes many roads. Like one girl I was telling you, is a desire to dominate others. Like we want to prove ourselves to be the best person in this world. We want to prove that we are the best in everything that we do. Everyone. Like generally, if you are in a particular field, say for example, doctor, any particular field, you all are in different fields. So in your field, you are a little expert, may not be a very big expert, a little expert. But there are many others who do not know much about your field. Then generally, our major is to both. People. You know, what kind of expert am I, you know? So, for example, if you quote some two jokers from Bhagavad Gita, people call you a pundit. People think, oh, this person knows Veda so much. He's so learned. Just you quote two jokers. So, everyone starts glorifying you. When you go for public division, you just go and say one or two jokers. People say, this person is so learned. And to people who are not very knowledgeable, you can both argue that I'm very great. But the person in the same field, who is very, really learned, when he comes, what will happen to us? You will understand your pulse, what kind of person you are. Isn't it? In the same way, the nature of lust is to dominate others to prove that there is nobody more superior than me. I am the most greatest expert. It is kind of tendency to dominate. I am thinking I am the best, my ideas are the best, I am the most beautiful. In fact, whatever the chaplain that we are talking about Krishna, I am thinking about oneself. I am the strongest, I am the most beautiful, I am the most intelligent, like that. The tendency is actually called as lust. When one feels like that, then one wants to dominate others. And one wants to consider everything else and everyone else in this world to be the object of his enjoyment. That is the meaning of lust. Nature of lust is so bad that you think nobody has any qualification in this world and everyone is meant for my exploitation. I will exploit them. This is the nature of lust. So, this tendency to dominate others will put you in a very, very bad predicament. Because as long as we, outside if you go to the material world, people are saying, teaching us how to exploit, see with that? They tell you, but like they say, you know, if you are a best salesman, you should sell a fridge to an Eskimo. You know, can you ever sell a fridge to an Eskimo? Eskimos are living in the midst of ice world. They are living in the ice bungalows. But somehow if you fool them and make him buy a refrigerator, a fridge from you. The same way outside world, people are teaching you how to cheat others and prove yourself the best. But what the devotees do? Devotees who are the greatest of the acharyas, they claim themselves to be the servants of the servants of the servants of everyone else. That's a matter of great Vaishnavas. Sometimes we feel, if I am too humble, then people will think I am not very great. It becomes fearful sometimes. That is, people actually will not know my qualifications. I should not be too humble. But actually, acharyas who are truly humble, their qualification and glory are taken care of by Krishna. He takes care of that. we don't have to broadcast our glory. Krishna broadcasts devotee's glory. But the nature of life is to dominate others and to think always and to be great, very great. So this tendency in its right condition is appearing in the form of such life. I designed this world. He says the basic principle of material existence is sex life. This desire for lust and the small budding cities grows further and further and it culminates in sex. For example, when you go to the road, you hear so many songs. Some woman is singing or some man is singing. Ultimately, what is the purpose of that song? Ultimately, why are they singing? To invite the attention of the opposite sex, nothing else. Isn't it? Or somebody is doing weightlifting, or somebody is doing karate, or somebody is doing learning. If you go to the finest aspect, why they should do all these things, ultimately it will boil down to this one thing. If a person doesn't need to, he doesn't need any prestige at all. You carefully think about this deeply. So why does a person need to qualify himself very much in this world? Shri Goswami is saying in the second canto, something very difficult to digest, but he is saying, so you want to lie down? Why do you need a house? You have the sky. You want to sleep? Why do you need a pillow? You have your hands, you can keep on sleep like this. You want to eat something? Why do you need a person or a vessel? You have your two hands, with which you can drink water and you can eat yourself. And why do you need a gift? You have these trees and plants. I can tell you that. Of course, this kind of questions made by Shri Goswami doesn't mean that a man has to live like an animal in the jungle, doing things like this. Prabhupada explains that a man has to live a simple life. One should not complicate his life. One should not increase artificial necessities in his life. That is the point why Shri Goswami is stressing these things. That a person who is attracted to sex life will naturally increase his necessities more and more and more. Especially in the modern advancement, if you see, we are increasing the necessities which are proof that they are attracted to more and more to this kind of sex life. Everything in this world, right from top to bottom, you see, everything is centered around this one thing. It is called lust. So, although lust has many meanings, the most profound meaning of the word lust is actually sex life. So that is deep-rooted in the heart of a conditioned living being, and it is very difficult to overcome. So, lust means the intense passion towards the opposite sex. The intense urge is satisfied. But it will never be satisfied. We'll be seeing in the future, Krishna will say, this poor and unalena chahi, he'll say. It will never be satisfied. It's like a burning fire. My dear Arjun, it is never going to be satisfied. If we know pretty well that it is never going to be satisfied, then what is the point of working towards satisfying it? You understand the question? In the same way, this lust is such a strong, compelling propensity in this world that it is very difficult to overcome. Unless one is attracted to Madan Mohan. Who is Madan Mohan? The attractor of Kripit. Kripit is Madan. Madan is always constantly waiting to see which illuminity is desiring. As soon as he sees a little desire, immediately he will send a flower arrow. And immediately conquer the heart of the living being and cover it with lust. And the lust is said, it is like a whirlwind. It blinds the eyes. And living being becomes completely blind. He becomes crazy. His intelligence is lost. And he behaves in a crazy way when one becomes lusty. It's rather like an animal. So it's like an animalistic propensity. So, that Madan, who is charming in the heart of every living being, he himself is attracted by the beauty of Krishna. That is why Krishna is called as Madan Mohan. He attracting even thousands of kupis, kandarpa koti, kamaniya vishesh shobham. Thousands of kupis are attracted to the beautiful face of Krishna. So we all have become Krishna devotees so that we can become attracted to the beautiful face of Krishna. We become charmed by his face and we cannot forget his face. And constantly raise up to which electricity is attacking a person, he helplessly is attracted to Krishna. He cannot be attracted to the so-called the mundane beauty of this material world. When this mundane beauty becomes like a dry roti for him, there is no attraction here. But Krishna's beauty is all attractive. The person dives deep into the ocean of Krishna's qualities and beauty. Like that. Only such a person can give up this kind of lust. So as I was telling in the middle, lust and love both have a very strong, passionate nature. It is something which can be very easily realized by a conditioned soul. It is not something that is written in paper. It is not something written in books. The force of lust can be seen in the same way as you see the force of lust. The force of love can also be experienced if you change the direction. What we should do? The living entity is trying to go towards the things of the world to enjoy for his satisfaction. Now what should we do? Instead of enjoying the things for our satisfaction, the living entity should change the direction now. It has to come to the opposite direction. By engaging everything in Krishna service, not only the things of this world, even his own senses, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevana, Bhakti Rukshati. Rishikesha is Krishna. Rishik means Indriya senses. Isha means Lord. Isha means Lord of the senses. So Krishna is the Lord of the senses, and we have to use our senses in our service. Eyes see the beautiful form of Krishna. Ears hear the holy names of Krishna. The tongue chant the holy names of Krishna. The mouth eat the prasadam of Krishna. With the hands and legs render service to Krishna. And even when one goes to married life, one uses his senses for procreating Krishna conscious children. And so we forgive children and make the children also into devotees. The kala dharma aviridya bhutesh kamasmi paradarsha parasnati. It is not against the religious principles. So we say all one principles can be applied in Krishna service. This is called Rishikena Rishikesha Sevana Bhaktirichati. In this way, when one works, gradually Krishna will give on the realization that one is simply a loving servant of Krishna. And Krishna is actually the enjoyer. When one realizes this, then the happiness that one achieves is the true happiness. Not the happiness that we achieve when others satisfy our senses. That is not the happiness. That happiness is actually called Matra Sparsha. Matra Sparsha means happiness that comes with the contact of the sense and the sense object. That is not real happiness. Like when you put a laddu in the tongue, you are giving some happiness. Does it give happiness or not? It's giving. So that is Matra Sparsha. Temporary happiness. It is not everlasting. In the same way, every one of our senses, like the eyes, the ears, the nose, and tongue, and genitals, and hands, and legs, and skin, and all these different karmendriyas and jnanendriyas, they involve in different types of karma, and they give so many kinds of happiness, of so-called happiness. But that is not real happiness. The real happiness is when the soul engages in his real duty, constitution and position. The real duty of rendering service to Krishna in love. Understanding this basic principle. Krishna is a true enjoyer. I am a eternal servant. When you work at this, then one can achieve your happiness. So further extension of this is when one understands that not only am I supposed to serve Krishna, I am the property of devotees. I am the property of not even Krishna, I am the property of devotees. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to tell me, I am your property. Sanatana Goswami, I am your property. You can use me the way you want. This is a very advanced platform. Like when Radhanath Maharaj comes to Pune, I'll ask Maharaj, which program would you like to do? He says, oh, Radhesha, I am your property. Whatever you order me, I will do. This is a very advanced consciousness. Maybe we can also try to repeat it. Very easy to repeat, but very difficult to realize this. Because in this world, the most difficult thing to give up is one's free will, independence. Everyone thinks what he does is the best. What he thinks is the best. But if one says, I am giving my free will to Krishna, not even Krishna, I am giving my free will for the pleasure of all devotees. So whatever devotees want me to do, I will do. One is completely setting off one's independence at the feet of devotees. That is a very, very great consciousness. And that is the real platform of the soul. In that platform, the soul rejoices so much that cannot be explained in words. So that is why we are often told we should try to become servant of the servant of Sri. Gati Bhatta Padakamali or Dasa Dasa Anita. That is why the Chameleon acts as a Brahmana or the Chameleon acts as a Brahmachari or a Grihastha Sannyasi. So these are all external designations that are a ladder to the ultimate position of realizing our true identity as a pure spirit soul. This is only a ladder. This is not the end. Brahmachari is not the end. A Grihastha is not the end. A Sannyasi is not the end. That is only a ladder to climb up and reach the original identity as the eternal servant of the servant of servant of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this. Naham, what is it? What is it? Naham dukkho na cha narapate naati vaishyo na shudre naham varini na cha guhatate no vanasto yaturva kinto prabhan nikala paramananda purna amrita dhe kopi bhatte padakamali yor dasa dasa anudasa hetu kopi bhatte padakamali yor dasa dasa anudasa and the servant of the servant of the servant of the lord of gopis which is Krishna. So that's a very deep meaning. He doesn't just say Krishna, he says Krishna the lord of gopis. That means I am the assistant of 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 Radharani. So this consciousness is the original consciousness of the living entity. Of course there are many suffers and left. We will see further. When we go ahead we can understand the different facets of left. What is now today what we are discussing is mainly the difference between love and lust. Although they both have the same vigor, they are actually they are having a difference in direction. Lust strikes you and love puts you in a ocean of bliss. They both have the same magnitude but difference in direction. So as devotees, we should try to give up this propensity as much as possible. The condition stage is we have so much of lust. Actually lust is in mode of passion. Because lust is a mode of passion, we, most of the activities we do are all creation, isn't it? So because we are creating so many things, so many projects, so many activities we are doing, so there is so much of lust associated with it. But we should be very careful not to offend devotees, not to exploit devotees, not to dominate devotees. That while entering these services, try to become servant of the servant of devotees. That more should be, one should endeavor to cultivate that more. That is what is the implication. It is kama yesha, krodha yesha. Kama, what happens to it? It transforms into krodha. Kama is a mode of passion and krodha is a mode of ignorance. That means the person in passion comes down to ignorance. So therefore, instead of coming down to ignorance, by superior knowledge of Krishna consciousness, one has to make the kama into prema. So they are taking kama into krodha. So from mode of passion you rise yourself to mode of goodness and transform all the three modes and go to the mode of pure goodness. That can be achieved by Krishna consciousness. So starting off Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So chanting is an intense begging of the soul to Krishna. Please kindly let me understand. I am your eternal servant. Somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of misery, ocean of death, and I am covered with thorns of lust. Please kindly pick me up from this ocean and place me at your lotus feet and the millions of atoms. So, praying to Krishna for service, this Mahamantra is chanted in that mode. So, every day when we chant, we should progress in this consciousness. I am not enjoying, I am enjoying and the property of Krishna. This should be reigning in our heart 24 hours a day. By remembering this, we can advance in our consciousness more and more. Otherwise, if we are simply rendering service, sometimes our services give us so much pleasure. We think that means it is bliss, we think. That may not be bliss. It may be because we are getting an opportunity to dominate. We are getting some happiness. So we should be very careful in every service that we render to cultivate this mood of pure love for Krishna. And always we should be testing whenever the lust dominates in our heart. We should immediately identify the Krishna dosha. We should identify, oh, this is a fault. Why am I so much having ego? Why am I feeling so much bigger to dominate? We should learn to appreciate other devotees. Every devotee has qualities. Every devotee has greatness. And every devotee has some exceptions. And there are devotees who are certainly greater than us. Much, much greater than us. So we should be ready to become convinced of this fact. beginning of Krishna consciousness, we think there is nobody above me. Who can be above me? Somebody says, I can do this. Maybe we also try that. I can do better than you. But if you have that tendency, that is actually lust. So we should be able to appreciate every devotee has his qualities, or high qualities. When we appreciate devotees, then Krishna will become very basically, allow us to very quickly come out of this lust. If you are not appreciating other devotees in the services, and if you think whatever we are doing, that is the most important service, and everyone else is doing bogus, useless things, then Krishna will not appreciate us. So the forthcoming shlokas are all filled with meaning. This is the first of us again, we'll see this. There are a few more, and finish it in a few weeks, 4 or 5 weeks. They are filled with part of meaning. Any comments or questions? We are still in the process. That's an Any other comments or questions?
When you are taking darshan, that time you should think that Krishna is talking, saying. But it also said that, so you should take darshan that, like, you are not seeing. But it is also said that, you have to free from that. You should try to appreciate the beauty of the Krishna and you should see it. So when you are, how to distinguish, make different that time that you are not enjoying.
Actually, even when one is appreciating the beauty of Krishna, one should know the position of Krishna. When I was telling one pastor, you remember when Prabhupada went to South India, once he went to Madras, on Madras' house he went, and that man had a deity of Krishna, beautiful deity of Krishna at home. And Prabhupada, as soon as Prabhupada entered the room, immediately he offered obeisances. That man was taken to get his old city, and Prabhupada asked him, when you enter puja room, don't you offer obeisances? He said, oh, that Krishna is like my child. He said, I can read him in the way I want. I can offer him anything. Someday offering, someday I don't offer. I don't have to pay him so much respect. He is like my lala, he's like my child. That's telling. Prabhupada said, this is sahaja tendency. So if one is taking the Kunjibihari, one is taking Kunjibihari, oh, this Kunjibihari, you are like my friend. I don't take you very seriously. When I enter the temple, I won't bow down to you. All you need is bowing down. You are like my lala. So think like that. That tendency is condemned. But if one can offer respect to Krishna and understand Krishna's position and respectfully take darshan, there is some type. Just like the example given of a husband and wife, you know. The relationship of husband and wife. The wife is always trying to satisfy the husband. They're washing the husband's clothes, keeping the house clean, preparing pictures of the husband. The husband is very pleased. And by husband's pleasure, wife also is pleased. In the same way, the devotee is rendering service to Krishna for his satisfaction. And when the devotee sees Krishna is very happy, by seeing Krishna happy, the devotee also feels very happy. Actually, the devotee doesn't expect anything from Krishna. What is his expectation? What is the standard of happiness? Devotee's standard of happiness? Krishna's pleasure. That is the standard of devotee's happiness. So why do devotees take darshan of Krishna? Just to check whether Krishna is happy. That's a big question. They don't ask Krishna, give me this, give me that. They just want to see that Krishna is happy. Krishna is pleased or not. If Krishna is pleased, that is the standard of the happiness of devotees. They have no expectation at all. You all understand, you all appreciate the lecture? This is a very, very important time for the life. Maybe later on we will have some stories from Bhagavatam and we go another 3 shlokas. But today we were talking only of the theory, the theoretical aspect. Something very important to grasp in the depth of our heart. The sense of today's lecture is that every living being in this world is thinking himself to be the enjoyer. But actually, we are not the enjoyer. We are enjoyed the means of Krishna's pleasure. So we are like a servant. So one time, when Sanyasi was telling us how a devotee should feel when he is living in the temple, Parati told, I was asking a question about, they are putting me in bigger and bigger position. They are putting me as, make me head of the department and make me president. So that devotee was telling that when you are in the temple, you should feel that this is the Mahal, this is the Raj Mahal of Sri Radha Kundabihari. Taj Mahal means like a palace, I'd rather than Biryari. And in the palace there are gardens outside and there are some outhouses meant for the servants. And you should understand that you are also one of the servants living in the outhouses. And when you are coming to the palace, you are coming to meet the king and the queen. Who are the king and queen? Radha and Krishna are the queen and the king. And then those who are coming to visit the king and the queen, who are they? They are their guests. They are not our guests. They are the guests of Radha and Krishna. How should we treat them? Understand the point? So to understand that they are their guests, we should, in South India, I know sometimes when you see servants, they wear like this. You say, no, they treat like this. They wear like this. That is to show a sign of respect when someone comes. So that is the level of a servant. You see, when the Jamindar comes immediately, he will wear the respect with him and bow down. In the same way, when the people come to temple, sometimes we think we are very big people. We think these people are actually ignorant. They don't know anything. Sometimes it seems like that. It's the wrong tendency. If you understand that these people already know Krishna, they are coming to meet Radha and Krishna. They are guests of Radha and Krishna. And we are actually servants. We are not as great as the guest who is coming to temple. In that mode, if we serve the devotees, then we can very quickly advance in such a way. But that is our true condition. That's how one can understand oneself to be a servant of the devotees. So once you get to practically apply this in one's life, one has to think in his mind about the contemplate on the things and practically apply. Then it will really be fruitful. Telling our Ajay, telling Gopijan Vallabha. So you all remember? What is his name? Ganesha. What is Ganesha saying? He said, you are a friend of Gopijan Vallabha. I am only his servant. It's very nice consciousness actually. And then consciousness, no one can become proud. There is no possibility of becoming proud. He is always thinking of us recently, a servant in the palace, living in one outhouse. Carrying simple as living and service meant only for the benefit of serving devotees. Very, very great consciousness. You can serve the devotees very naturally.